Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Your eyes have it. And you have Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Oz.
Every week I like to share some things that come up in the newspaper or emails or stories, and there's so many of them I can't possibly get to them. I used to know as a kid, if you want something to happen fast, you either use a telegram, telephone, or a telegossiper. Well, there's one other tele-thing, and that's telemedicine. And that is here to stay, and it's kind of trying to find its place in this world. So, what do we know about telemedicine? Well, there was a great review in the New York Times about a week ago, and looked at the use of telemedicine in medicine, in terms of doctors' calls. And from 2015 to 2016, it went from 1 million to 12 million uses of virtual doctor visits. In terms of hospitals and physicians group, likely on a slowly increased rate, hospitals and doctors groups were using it a little more each year. Patients, especially in 2016, have jumped up to have a virtual doctor's visit. Now, this, of course, may mean a nurse and not the doctor. Well, what do people feel about this? Well, that's an open question that those who have done so, about 16% feel really satisfied. And the reasons for this is there's a lot of insecurity. One is, insurance companies won't cover it, and therefore some doctors won't want to do it because it doesn't pay. That the internet connection might not be good enough, that the information's transferred, or that the quality of the examination is certainly different. Well, as an ophthalmologist, I recognize that telemedicine requires good vision and good optics. It also can be used in ophthalmology very well, because we can photograph an eye, a red eye, or even inside the eye and the retina, and share a specific fact for a specific line of inquiry, as opposed to doing a complete exam. But even though it's here, we have to realize there are many questions for providers, insurers, patients, etc. Is this trade quality for convenience? Don't know. Who pays? Should it pay? Will services be regulated on a state-by-state basis? Because as a physician, we have a state license, but not perhaps the state next to ours. What consists of practicing medicine? Will there be malpractice cover? Can the doctor charge? Can the nurse do the job? Because if that's the case, that's who's going to be having the conversation. But of course, if someone's distracted, you're not going to have the same quality conversation. Exercise has shown, once again, Moses Chow at New York University, that exercise grows your brain. Now, that doesn't have to be vigorous exercise. It can be anything that just quiets the mind, keeps you busy, and maybe breaks a little sweat. But new cells in the hippocampus, that's your emotional center, your memory center of the brain, will actually divide and grow. We knew for a long time that exercise will grow your telomeres in your cells, i.e. making your cells a little healthier and perhaps adding to your lifespan. But in the journal, it is shown that there is a specific protein that is developed called BDNF, I won't bother you with the name, that actually increases genetic response and makes certain genes more reactive, and cells will actually grow. Now, this was found that sedentary mice, the molecules around the gene block the signals. But in active mice that run in the wheel, the genes work, the hippocampus grows, they grow new cells, and when given other tests, they're actually much smarter. On another note, what do you think about certain diseases being contagious? Nope, not infectious disease. What about cancer? Recent study by scientists found that several species of shellfish contained cancerous tumor cells that could spread to other shellfish. Previously, the only two species where this has been found is in dogs and in Tasmanian devils. Now, the dogs, it's been known for 11,000 years and is extremely rare, etc. But the traditional view of cancer is that a mutation strikes a cell and makes the cell go wild in a person's body. In fact, it starts taking over all the nutrition and the space. And we know that toxins, genetic variability, and viruses can do it. But however rare it is for a person's cancer to change another person? Well, we've known this in Tasmanian facial tumor disease and in dogs, and now we have found that certain cockle shells can jump species into golden caper carpet shell clams, that these clams jump species. But incidentally, on the evolutionary side of life, those golden clams that are resistant are the ones that survive and proliferate and become resistant to that particular tumor. But the more disquieting fact is that will people transmit cancer, or even will we transmit genes and proteins that can speed up diabetes or cause other degenerative diseases? Well, we'll wait for the scientists to fill us in on that one. Did you know that a person's gaze changes when he's adding up the points, the card points in his hand? If there's only a couple cards, the gaze is pretty straight. But as soon as the card points start increasing, or as soon as a list of numbers starts increasing, the eyes start turning to the right. That's very interesting, because when you ask a person a question, if they lie, they often turn to the right to search for the answer. And if they tell the truth, they search to the right. And if they lie, they start looking to the left. So it's rather interesting that gaze is rather connected to the mentation involved. And so the upshot of it all is that when people are doing more complex mental arithmetic, it does shift their gaze. But that's also interesting, because when you look at people, one of the first things you do is you look at their eyes. And speaking of eyes, beauty is often in the eye of the beholder. Well, interestingly enough, the truth about beauty is more often myths. In the old days, the best-looking woman had a waist ratio of 0.70 compared to the hips. From waist to hips was 0.7. And this was seen in a survey in 1993, looking at Miss America, looking at Playboys, etc. Well, that was 1993. Well, over time, what has happened is that the figures that are felt to be ideal have become longer and thinner. So obviously, beauty is something that changes, and again, is in the eye of the beholder. Aristotle claimed that the chief forms of beauty are in order and symmetry and balance. But that doesn't always have to be the case. And that individual faces today that are put on computers will look much better to people if they are symmetrical. But on the other hand, they're much less interesting. So many things happen, including a subconjunctival hemorrhage, a floater in the eye. All of these things say, get an informed opinion instead of just see what it means. So seeing your ophthalmologist is important, and seeing if it relates to something more significant in your health. I'm Dr. Rob Abel, the Wizard of Eyes, on RadioMD.com. For more information on this segment or any of my segments, visit my show page at RadioMD.com. We try to tell you interesting things that connect not only to the eyes, but to your general health and your mind. Thank you for listening. Thank you for seeing well. And of course, stay well.